My name is Mary, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mary.
I almost thought I was more afraid of doing this than I was of drinking again. And then I remembered my story, and I was, no. So I guess that I'm supposed to start talking about how I became an alcoholic. I kind of want to first start, though, and tell you all a little bit about my childhood. I grew up in a very big family. I'm the oldest of six, and we grew up in North Carolina, and I think I basically, from my childhood, I remember very, very, very good things that happened. I was homeschooled. I had a lot of sisters and brothers that I played with, and I was very, very sheltered. I was innocent. We had a very pure lifestyle. And then we moved to Florida, and stupid place. It's okay. I like it now. But we moved here, and my mom got a little sick, and my brother started having really bad anxiety problems, and I started to feel that life was not as happy. And things progressed, and we kind of moved around a little. We moved to Wellington, and then we moved to actually Safety Harbor, where my family still is. And so when we moved to Safety Harbor, my parents shipped me off to St. Pete to go to high school. And the first time that I went to high school, I was in 10th grade. And I remember, not to say bad things about homeschoolers, I mean, I love my siblings still homeschool, so it's nothing about that. But when I went to high school, I felt very out of place. And I think even as a child, I remember feeling just a little different, not the normal kid. I always wondered, am I normal? Am I normal? And I was always worried in social situations. And so when I went to high school, I wanted to be the people pleaser. If I couldn't be normal, I'd be perfect. So I wanted to be the perfect oldest daughter. I wanted to please. I made straight A's all through high school. I got into college. I worked really hard. I even got into a master's program, but that's later down the road. So I hated high school. I was miserable. A lot of people hate high school, but I win for that one. I think when I was about 19 or 20 was when I really started to drink abnormally. And I can say that now, but back then I didn't know that it was abnormal. I remember the first time that I had wine. My aunt is the fun aunt. I've always looked up to her. And she was sitting there at a family party, and we always have lots of alcohol for kids' birthday parties. I mean, we're walking in, and there's, like, booze everywhere. It's always been that way. But for me, I associated fun with alcohol. And being very close with my family, I followed in their pattern. And my aunt said, give Mary a glass of wine. She'll loosen up a little. And that first night, oh, my God, I loved wine. I was like, I found my cure. This is what I needed to handle all the social problems. And I was fun, and everybody said, oh, my God, we love this side of you. And I liked that side for, like, a few months, and then I started to have issues with that. I'd take wine bottles, and I'd shove it into coffee cups because both of my grandfathers were alcoholics. Both of them died from it. And my parents started to tell me, you drink too fast. You drink too much. Slow it down. You need to eat something with that. And I'd stop eating just so that I could get drunk faster. And I loved wine. I'd drink it out of the bottle, hide it in the bathroom. I had stashes all over the place in my house. So I guess the point where it really started getting bad was I'd start having blackouts. And I wouldn't remember what I was doing or what I had said the night before. And I started dating this guy. He was a good guy. Nothing against him. It was on me. I started to drink because I was so intimidated by the idea of dating someone. I didn't know how to handle the whole relationship. So I thought, wine, it will fix everything. And like my whole drinking career, it did for a little while, and then it got bad again. So I would drink to handle this boyfriend of mine, And I drank to get better grades, and I drank to be perfect again, and it just seemed like I was drinking to have fun. I was drinking when I was miserable. I was drinking all the time. And during these blackouts, I'd start doing really weird, crazy things. I remember the one morning after I had had a really bad drinking, lovely escapade, my parents told me, "We will Baker Act your butt next time you do that. Like, this is enough." They got me in to see a psychiatrist after a little longer. I mean, they realized this is not good. Then my boyfriend and my mother and my sister, all three of them, decided to get this calendar, and they were going to map out the times that they were going to babysit Mary to make sure that I would not drink. I have always been manipulative, and I have always been very good at lying. So, again, my little sneakiness, I was very good at hiding the wine bottles, and then they bought this breathalyzer. I learned how to fix that, too. Never mind. But there is a way to get around it, if anybody wants to know. There's a room full of alcoholics. I don't want to give that away. But there is a way. So I think I would just drink. Oh, my gosh. I think at some point I was drinking just to drink. I didn't know what else to do. It was a very, very, very bad place. And I think the final point that I got to my drinking was really, I wanted to be with my family again. At this point, my siblings were getting angry with me. My family was furious. I had hurt people. I was saying horrible things to my mom, very bad things. I was having horrible thoughts when I would drink, and it got to the point where it wasn't cool anymore. And I broke up with the boy because he was just, side note, whatever, he was annoying. I stopped. Anyways, so broke up with a boyfriend, and I thought, I got rid of the guy. He was the problem. So now I'm normal again, and I can drink normally. And I had tried several times to drink normally. And every time, I'd end up drunk, and I was like, no, I just need to eat more. So then I'd eat. And then, oh boy, that was not a good idea, because then I'd throw up. So I did a lot of eating, throwing up, drinking for a long time. I don't know what I was doing, but I was not a healthy girl. So I went to Tallahassee with my family because my dad, who is an incredible person and only wanted to help me and love me, bought our whole family Clemson versus FSU. I think that was the game. It was in November. My sobriety date is November 14th of last year. And at that game, I went, and I was on restriction. You know, I'm not allowed to drink. So everybody else is sitting in this room. We're in a hotel room, and everybody's got all these beers, and they're having a great time. And I'm sitting there going, this is not fair. So I went downstairs, and I snuck out because I was very sneaky. And there's a lot of us, so I'm very good at just disappearing really quickly and nobody noticing. So I ran, and I'm, by the way, I'm 23 now, so why I'm sneaking around, I don't know, but I thought it was, like, fun. So I run downstairs, and I'm walking in Tallahassee. I had no idea where I was. I didn't go to school there, but I'm running around this whole place trying to find wine because that's what I wanted. I did end up going to vodka or whatever in the end of my drinking, but that's because it's clear and it doesn't smell in your breath, and so you can be even sneakier. It's just great. So I run downstairs, and I'm outside in this alley. I mean, God knows what could have happened to me. And I bought two wine bottles. Well, first, I bought one wine bottle, slugged that back behind the place. Then I went in because I was like, I didn't have enough. This wasn't good. So I run back in, and I buy the bottle, and I blame it on my whole family. I go in, and the guy's looking at me like, what on earth? And I was like, can you just uncork it for me? I'm so sorry. Like, my family's driving me nuts, so I run, I shove it in my purse, I'm running toward the hotel. I didn't even, at this point, I'm definitely feeling it, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know where the hotel is, and I had forgotten my phone, so I didn't know where I was with this wine bottle open in my purse. I'm running toward the hotel, and I go into the lobby, and I saw some of my family members, so of course, I'm like, oh my God, this is not good. Run into the bathroom, the women's bathroom, into a stall, and I slug back this whole bottle of wine, and so needless to say, I'm pretty sick at this point. And then I was like, I still don't feel it enough. And oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm at this game. I got to have something because I can't be relaxed. I can't be normal. I can't be perfect or good if I don't have alcohol in me. So I run upstairs and I take these antidepressants and I'm like, yeah, this will make it better. It didn't. That night, my family went to the game, and my dad stayed with me in a hotel room in this Tallahassee place. I don't remember what the hotel was called, but I don't like it. And he held my hair back as I threw up blood and lots of nasty vomit, and it was a beautiful sight, I'm sure, for his oldest daughter, the girl that he loved. My dad and I have always had a great relationship. He still loves me, but I can just now picture him looking at me going, oh my God, this little girl, this is the girl that I used to have really long, good conversations with. My dad and I have always talked about politics and religion, and I'm the only one of his kids that'll sit there and listen to him give this whole lecture, and then I'll fight right back. And he loves that feistiness in me, and I could just now picture him looking at me really, really sick on the floor, not sure if he should Baker act me. And he said he wanted to, but I was in Tallahassee and he didn't know what to do, because he had the whole plan of action for here if I needed to get Baker acted. We had the whole, my name was on this list, you know, and I knew where I was going to go. I was going to go to some nun place. It was a rehab. I don't know what they were going to do with me, but my name was on a list, and that's all I knew, and it kept me from letting them know that I was drunk. Ha ha. And I was very, very sick on that floor that whole night, and I was crying. And from what I remember, my dad was just sitting there patting my back and laying down with me. And that next morning, when I woke up, very, very, very sick still, my parents both came up to me and they gave me a hug and they said, I love you and we'll get you through this. You're gonna do this. And so I think with their love, it made me kind of want to change a little, but it wasn't enough. Later that night, that next following night, I started to try to like back myself up and say, this is why I did it. My brother, who I am actually his confirmation sponsor, we've had a great relationship, kicked me and was very mad and hated me and la la la. It was not good. But after that, I think he was the one that really kicked reality in me, that I was destroying my relationship with my family, that I was ruining a lot of good things that I had in store for me. So I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the first time that I walked in, I thought I actually had to have like a doctor's note saying, listen, she is an alcoholic. We can cross you off. You can go in. And a very wonderful person walked up and she told me her name. And she said, in a book, she wrote in the big book, she gave me a little tiny copy of it. And she said, you don't ever have to drink again if you don't want to. And that stuck with me. It just, for some reason, I don't know if I was delirious or if I just didn't want to hear it, but that was the first time that I sat there and I thought, I do not need alcohol to have fun. I don't need alcohol to just be merry. And in those few words, I found a lot of freedom. I just finished my fourth step. I'm definitely not there yet, and I don't think I'll ever be there where I've always wanted to be. I wanted to be this perfect, and if I got the white picket fence with the husband and the kids and the, you know, dog and the freaking master's degree, I'd be perfect and happy, and it's just not that way. I found something better, and that's God, and it happened through AA for me. And with that, I just would like to say thank you to all of you, because it's in these rooms that I finally found a way to live. So, thank you.